Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Amen. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well this morning? Man, that was good. Ava's giving lessons right after church, if anybody wants to learn how to sing. Hey, thank you for being here. My name's Bobby, if I haven't got to meet you yet. There's a lot of new faces in here and some familiar faces as well. But just thank you so much for being here. We're in a series of talks called Last Steps. And basically what we're doing is we're just tracing Jesus's steps leading up to the cross, which is what we're going to celebrate next week. The cross is death, burial, and resurrection on Easter. And as Jesus is walking the earth, he's trying to teach his disciples some things that he wanted them to know before he left. All right. And here's the cool thing about Jesus. He understands we all learn in different ways, right? Like, let me ask you this question. How many of you guys learn like lecture style? You can sit for 2 to 3 hours, listen to someone talk, and that's how you learn. Anybody learn like that? Nobody learns lecture style, all right? How many of you have ADD and you need something new every 20 seconds? Anybody? Okay, all right? Don't look out the windows, all right? Some of you, what about visual? You need a visual. Any visual learners in here, like a video or something? Well, the disciples were the same way. And when Jesus was teaching, he would do all of it. Sometimes he would sit and have them sit around and listen to him talk, and he would just share with them. Sometimes he would go out and he would perform something. He would do a miracle, and he would say, "This is why I want you to live your life." And then other times he was like more of a hands-on. He's like, "You go do this, and then we'll come around and talk about it, and I'll show you and I'll teach you how to do things." Well, today we're going to be looking in John chapter 13. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter 13. If you don't have your Bible, just know that we're judging you on the inside. But no, I'm kidding. It'll be here on the screen. But John chapter 13, there's this very, very important like object lesson that Jesus is teaching. And he is getting ready to die. And he's going to teach his disciples this lesson because he thought it was so important. Now, let me give you a little context of John. The first 12 chapters of John, this is pretty cool. The first 12 chapters covers about 3 years, all right? So John chapter 1 to John chapter 12 is about 3 years worth of time. Once you get to chapter 13 through 19, it covers about 24 to 36 hours. All right, so it's a lot of details about a short amount of time. Now, just as a refresher, the Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are eyewitness accounts of what was going on during this time, okay? And so just think about it for a minute. If all of us went out here and we stood on 170 and we saw a car wreck, right? And we all had to describe it. All of us saw the same thing, but we're probably going to tell different details about it, right? We're probably going to say different things. And I saw this and I heard this and I was looking here and I was talking. I saw a squirrel and I was looking. Like, we're all going to have different things that we're going to say, right? So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they complement each other, but some of them have different details. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, during the last days of Jesus, during the Passover feast, and we'll talk about that here in a second, they talked a lot about the meal that they had together, okay? So the Passover was this time in the Jewish culture where the homes, they had to sacrifice an animal and they had to put the blood over the animal so the angel of death would pass over their house. Okay. Once that happened, then the feast would begin. They would feast for about a week long. It was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They would get together, they would eat, they would celebrate the Passover, all the houses that were passed over. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke talked a lot about that meal. John didn't say much about the meal. John really talked about the stuff that happened after the meal, stuff before the meal. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, this upper room that Jesus and his disciples were in. They found this house that had an upper level. They go up in here. They're getting ready to celebrate the Passover. And this is where we pick up. So if you have your Bible, stand with me, John chapter 13, and honor the reading of God's word. Let's read this story together. All right, and then we'll try to break it down. The Bible says this, John chapter 13, verse 1. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, when it was time for supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray him.
Jesus knew that the Father had given him everything into his hands, that he had come from God and he was going back to God. Verse 4, so he got up from supper, laid aside his outer clothing, took a towel, tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel that he tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing, you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand. Verse 8, you will never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus replied, well, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said, well, not only wash my feet, but wash my hands, wash my head. Verse 10, one who has bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except for his feet because he's completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and this is why he said, not all of you are clean. Verse 12, when Jesus had washed their feet, he put back on his outer clothing, he reclined again, and he said to them, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. You're speaking rightly, since that's who I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I've done for you. Verse 16, truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray your blessing on the reading of your word. You know exactly where we're at in our journey. You know exactly the struggle, the heartache, the mountaintops that we've brought into this room. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would fall down, speak into our lives. Challenge us and change us. Help us to understand we're not here by accident. You have a word for us this morning. Use these few moments today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we're going to try to attempt to break down this story that Jesus was telling his disciples. Now remember, these are his guys. They've been with him for a long time, and he's trying to give them something to hang on to as he knows his time to depart the earth is coming, and he's trying to help them out. And so verse 1, he says, before the Passover festival, Jesus knew this hour had come to depart from the world. Now listen to this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that verse, and that's one that we probably just skip over. But knowing these guys, he's walked with these men. He's been with them. He knows the good, bad, and ugly of their lives. And the Bible says he loved them all the way to the end. And maybe that's just the message you need this morning. You need to understand that God is going to love you to the end. No matter what your life looks like, no matter what your past looks like, he's going to love you to the end. Then verse 2 says, now when it was time for supper, the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas to betray him. Now Judas, we know a little bit about Judas later on here in a couple chapters. Judas is going to turn his back on Jesus. He's going to turn Jesus in for some money. And Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, right? And how did it get to that place? How did this guy who was following Jesus, how did he get to this place where now he's going to turn his back on Jesus? You see, the devil knew that Judas's heart was not right with God. The devil knew that there was fertile soil to use against God in Judas. So when you and I today, 2024, we got to ask ourselves, it's something we have to recognize inside of my own heart. How's the soil of my soul? How's the soil in my life? Is there anything that I can see in my life that the enemy may be able to use to defeat me? Is there anything going on in my life, any sin, any struggle, any you know, yuckiness, nastiness that I probably shouldn't be there that the devil could use in my life? How's the soil of my soul? Something all of us need to recognize. So we're getting this set up from John. Okay, Jesus loved his guys to the end. Judas was there, and Jesus knew he was going to betray him. But then look what happens in verse 3. So Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, that he had come from God, and he was going back to God. So Jesus knew and he understood that God had put him in charge of everything. All authority was in Jesus' hands. Now, just think about that for a minute. Like, here's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I've got it all right here in my hands. I've got all authority. But then look what happens. He's in this upper room with just a few guys. They're reclining at a table. And then Jesus does something unspeakable. Verse 4, so he got up from the supper, laid aside his outer clothing. He took a towel, tied it around himself. Next, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel tied around him. Now, I know some of you are thinking, they're not going to make me wash feet today, right? Like we're not going to do that, all right? We're not bringing out water. Some of you, your toes look like a bag of Doritos. We're not going to go there today, okay? I get it. But I want you to see something. You see, back in this time, washing feet was nothing new. This is what they did, right? The roads were dirt. Everybody wore sandals. And so when you entered into someone's house, the servant would immediately come in and they would take your sandals and they would wipe your feet. It was customary. It was what was going on. So it wasn't the fact that Jesus was washing their feet. It was the fact of who was doing it. It was all the authority we just read in verse 3. All authority had been given to Jesus. Everything was from God. He was from God. He was going back to God. And he's the guy that's washing my feet. I think here's the message. There's a few messages today that I think I want to challenge you with. Number one is this. Serving others is never beneath you. Serving others is never beneath you. Think about this with me. Jesus could have said, all right, guys, listen, these are my last days. I need you guys to rally around me, okay? I'm a little nervous about what's going to happen here in a couple days. Matter of fact, I'm just going to sit down. Y'all rally around me. Give me a little massage. Pray over me. You know, I need some encouragement. Come on, I need everybody to give me a little pep rally, right? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus knew that a crisis was coming. He knew something was going to really struggle, and his focus was not on the crisis. His focus was on serving others. His focus was on leaving an example to his disciples that, you know what, guys, it's not about me. And that's the example that Jesus left. On his last journey, in some of his last days, he wanted to make sure the disciples got this. Now, here's the funny part. Crazy Peter. We talked a little bit about Crazy Peter. He's always got something to say. He's always opening his mouth, and you never know what he's going to say. And I love this. So Jesus has went from person to person, and he finally lines up Simon Peter, and he comes to Simon, and he's getting ready to wash his feet. And what does Simon say? Verse 6. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Like, this is getting awkward, right? And Jesus answered him, what I'm doing, you don't realize now, but afterward, you will understand. I wonder how many times in our lives are we like, God, I just don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what you're doing. What's the question we all want to know? Why? Why does this happen? And why does this go on? And why do you allow this? And it's a question that we all want to know. And here's Peter, and Jesus says, you don't understand it right now. Later, you will. And then look what Peter says. Very interesting. He looks Jesus in his face, and Jesus is doing this, and he's just imagine Jesus down on his hands and knees, going from person to person, and Peter says, you will never wash my feet. Not gonna do it. You're never gonna wash my feet. And Jesus said, well, listen up, buddy. If I don't wash your feet, then you don't have any part with me. And watch how fast Peter's tune changes. Oh, don't just wash my feet. Give me a head, bath. Just give me a bath, right? Head, hands, feet, wash it all. I want all of it, right? And here's Peter. Jesus just told him, man, you're not going to understand. And Peter's trying to figure it all out. Well, wait a minute. If you don't wash my feet, I want you to wash everything. I want to make sure that I'm good. Even the disciples didn't always understand what Jesus was doing. The guys that got to walk with him and see these things and live with him, they didn't always understand. But I want you to understand something. In those times in our life, that's where trust is built. In those unknowing moments, in those trying times, in those days when I don't know why it's happening, that's where trust is built. But I started thinking about this. Why wouldn't Peter let Jesus wash his feet? Why was he like, no, you're not going to wash my feet. I'm not going to let you do this. And the only thing I could come up with was pride. Peter was so prideful that he didn't want Jesus to wash his feet. And I want you to hear this today. Pride will always kill what God is trying to do in your life. Pride will always ruin what God wants to do in your soul. Peter was like many of us. He was like, no, Jesus, you can't wash my feet. I don't deserve that. I mean, think about it for a minute. If you can get over your phobia of feet, and for some of you, if we did have a basin and water and a towel today, most of you in here could probably, you know, if you went to your spouse or your children, you could probably take off their shoes and you could wash their feet. That probably wouldn't be the hard part. You know what the hard part would be? Is letting someone do it. The hard part would be, you know, I don't know, like, I didn't do anything. Why? This is awkward. Because it's vulnerable when you are receiving someone else's kindness. It can get a little awkward because we spend so much of our lives trying to earn our worth. Like, we try to earn things in our life. We spend so much time. So when we don't have anything, we don't have any reason to receive something, it's awkward. We don't have any reason. I didn't do anything to receive this. And here's what it is. It's not just awkward. It's our pride. Let me illustrate it like this for some of you that maybe better gets illustrations. Guys, let me talk to the fellas in the room for a second. Why don't we ask for directions more? when we're driving and we don't know where we're at, why do we not want to stop and ask somebody? Because it shows weakness, right? I know what I'm doing. I can find it. I'm not lost. Why do we want to do that? It's because it's prideful. We don't want to ask somebody for help. Now, let's go a little bit more serious. Why do we not ask for help in our journey with Christ? Why are we hesitant to ask for help in our marriage? Why are we hesitant to ask for parenting? Why are we hesitant? Because we don't feel like we deserve it, because we have pride. I wonder how many of you today have a hard time letting God do something great in your life because you feel like you just don't deserve it. Let me just hit that again. How many of you sitting here today, listening today, have a hard time of God doing something great in your life because you feel like you don't deserve it? We sang a song a few minutes ago, and I might butcher the words, but it was something like, why would I let my shame stand in my way when there's a fountain of grace flowing my way? Why do I let the shame of my past keep me from what God wants to do in my life? If Jesus wants to kneel down and wash my feet, I need to be vulnerable and say, you know what? I don't deserve it, but thank you. And that's what I think he's trying to help us understand here. When Peter was like, no, I don't deserve this. You can't do this. If you're going to wait around until you feel like you deserve it, it's never going to happen. If you're going to wait around in your life till you feel like, okay, I'm settled, I'm good, I can ask for help now, I'm ready, I've got it all figured out, Jesus, come do something great in my life, it's never going to happen. It takes humility to let someone serve you, especially when you know you don't deserve it. That's what God's grace is. Another truth that I want you to write down or take with you today is this: choose humility over pride. The message here that Jesus is trying to get across: choose humility over pride. Be willing to serve in the lowliest positions. Be ready and be willing to be the most humble servant in the room. Paul said the same thing to the church in Philippians. Listen to what he says. Adopt the same attitude of Christ Jesus. This is the same message God was trying to teach, or Jesus was trying to teach to the disciples. He's saying, have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Yes, he's authority. Yes, he's God. Yes, he's going to go sit at the right hand of the Father. But he didn't say, oh, because I'm the king, you have to come serve me. Instead, verse 7, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity, and when he had come as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross. Jesus is teaching humility over pride. Disciples, I know you don't deserve this, but I'm gonna do it anyway because this is the life I want you to go live. I want you to serve your wives. I want you to serve your husbands. I want you to serve the people around you. And then look at this. He goes through this whole thing with Simon after Simon opens his mouth. And look at verse 11. The end of verse 10, he says, one who is bathed, Jesus told him, doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. And he's telling Simon Peter, you're clean, you're good, but not everybody in the room is clean. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him, and this is why he said, not all of you are clean. Listen to this. Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him, and he still washed his feet. He knew that Judas was going to turn his back on him, and he still washed his feet. What does that share for you and I? Serving others is not about who they are and do they deserve it. And Christians, listen, church, if we don't get anything else right, we got to get this right. We got to get this one right. Every person that you and I come in contact with is a God opportunity for us to love and serve them. And what do? We are so quick to say, no, they're not like me, and no, they believe different, or no, they sound different, or they look different, or they wear different clothes. And Jesus is saying, it's not about them. It's not about who they are or do they deserve it. This is an opportunity for you to love and for you to serve. That has to be our mindset. Those of us who are considered followers of Christ, we're the disciples sitting in the room with Jesus. We're the ones that he's trying to get this message out to. And when we have this mindset, every single day, every single person is a potential for a miracle to happen. You and I must dip our hands into the bowl of serving others. Today, as we're thinking through this, maybe there's someone that God has put on your heart. Maybe there's someone that you know, man, I need to serve them better. And let's be honest, we probably all have some people in our life that we would put in the same category as Judas. They did me wrong, they said stuff, they turned their back on me, and Jesus says, I'm still going to wash his feet. I know he's going to turn his back on me. I know he's going to hurt me. Who's God calling you to serve? You know, talking about learning, I learn very practically. Like, I like to listen, and I like to get some history and some context and to know some things. But then I want to know, okay, well, how is this going to play out on Monday? Right? How can I live this out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Like, how can I live this out in my life? As you came in today, there's a card there in your seat. I want to invite you right now just to grab this card. There's a pen there as well. And those of you that are like me and you like some practical takeaways, this is what I want to encourage you to do. On the front, it says, who's your one? And then on the back, this is one of our core values here at City Hope, being one focused. And the phrase is, who is someone that's close to you but far from God? And right now, you might know who that person is. And I just want to encourage you, take that pen and write their name right there, right now. Who's your one? Who's the one person, God, that you're calling me to serve? You gave this lesson to the disciples. You're speaking to me today in 2024. Who's one person in my life that I know that I can serve them this week? We have a lot of what God's doing here at our church and having a couple services and just seeing more and more people come. We have some amazing teams and almost every single person that's a part of our team volunteers their time for us. And one of my favorite teams, I probably shouldn't play favorites, but they are, is the prayer team. And I love their heart. They just are so passionate about just praying for our church and praying for me and praying for you. And this morning before you ever got here, your chair was prayed over. There's people praying now. There's people going to be up here in the front here in a minute just to pray with you and be willing to say, hey, well, this is a big deal. And as I was thinking about this week, we want to invite you to write down a name, but we want to pray over this. And we want to ask God, because if Jesus, in his final days on earth, gives us this example, it's probably something we need to sit up and listen to. It's probably something we need to say, okay, how am I doing in this area? And all this card is just a practical way for you to be one focus, to say, all right, God, who are you calling me to serve this week? And so I've invited one of our prayer team, Greg Winget. Greg's going to come up, and he's going to just take some time, and we're going to pray over your card. And maybe you're here, and you need to pray right now that God would put somebody on your heart. God, who is that person that I need to write down? And your prayer this morning is God, who do you want me to be praying for? Who do you want me to serve? But as Greg leads us in a word of prayer, can I just encourage you to take a moment and pray for the one. Greg, come lead us.
So going off script for a second, if you could get your card out, this is audience participation. We're going to read that scripture verse at the bottom. So everybody reads together, okay? So this is where you get to speak out loud. So I'll start, but you need to then come along with me. Got it? Everybody there? I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. So lay that on your hearts. So now we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just pray over the people that we have either written on the card or that we might think about this week, Lord. We pray who you would have us serve, who you might have us invite to service next week, who you would invite us to just be a part of their lives, Lord. We pray that those out there that need you, Lord, that we would see them and that we would see them for people who truly need you and that we can help them just find you and seek you, Lord. We pray over this week. We pray over the Holy Week that is this week, Lord. We pray for the services next week that we would have just an overflowing of people here that not only are connected to you already, but that need to be connected to you, Lord. We pray that as we leave this service, Lord, we pray that you would just find those people, that you would plant them in our lives and plant them in our hearts, that we would see them for people who need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Greg. Maybe this week the best way for you to serve your one is an invite. Invite them out for dinner. Invite them out for lunch. Invite them over to the house. Share with them what Easter means to you. And why does your family celebrate Easter? Why do you guys go into church? Come to church with me. Maybe the entire reason for God to put this person on your heart is because that phone call may change their life forever. And, you know, you think about it, the entire goal of serving, the entire goal of loving, the entire goal of inviting someone is always to help people experience Jesus. Jesus wants us to understand this is the kind of God that he is, to get down on his hands and knees and wash the feet of the people who don't deserve it. And that's the message that our neighbors need and that our loved ones need and the people around us. That's what they need to hear this Easter. His goodness and his hope and his grace and his forgiveness and his love and all the attributes of God are too vast for us to keep it to ourselves. Let's keep going in the story here. After Jesus tells Simon Peter all of this, and then he kind of says, okay, I've washed everyone's feet. Let me talk to you. When Jesus, verse 12, when Jesus had washed their feet, he put his outer clothing back on. He reclined and he said, do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord. You are speaking rightly since that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, and then here it is. If you're a note taker, underliner, highlighter, underline this last part, that you also should do just as I have done for you. Church, if the world is going to understand the kind of love that Jesus is talking about, we must step into sharing his story with others. If the world is going to know this kind of love, this doesn't make sense kind of love, this what? What do you mean? He's going to betray you and you're still going to wash his feet? If the world is going to understand this kind of love, we must share his story. And that's the message straight from him. Do just as I have done for you. God commands us. Jesus commands us. He empowers us to be his witnesses. Remember what Paul said to the church? Paul said in Acts chapter 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And listen to what he says. You will be my witnesses. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the earth, you will be my witnesses. Church, Christians, disciples, followers of Jesus, you will be my witnesses. Why do we exist? If I know Christ and I know his love and I've brought that into my life, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Why do I exist? It's to bring fame to his name. That's it. Why am I here on earth? It's not to make a lot of money and have fun and then die. It's to bring fame to his name. And we make God famous when we tell others about who he is and about what he's done. And when people know Jesus, that's when God gets the most glory. Let me ask you this kind of, again, personal, practical question. When's the last time you shared your story? When's the last time you shared with somebody about the goodness, the love, the grace, the forgiveness that God has given you in your life? We say this a lot around here. Your story matters. Your story has the power to potentially change someone's life. This past few weeks, we have been talking about your story matters, and we had a bunch of folks come up and share their amazing stories of what God has done and what he's continuing to do. And there's a story that we knew you needed to hear. We knew that this was one that God was using and God is continuing to use. So let's take just a moment, watch this video.
I'm Michael Schaefer, and this is my story. I was saved at 16. I went to the Salvation Army Church, and we went to a summer camp every year, and that's where I got saved. I tried my best to walk. Didn't work. I got into the military after high school and kind of got further away from that track. I still have my faith, but I just didn't act right. I had a lot of struggles during my time in the military with pills, with women, with everything else. And that kind of built up and climaxed when I got out and I robbed a bank and went to prison for 10 years. Being stuck in that pill addiction, it consumed your life, and I was miserable. So there was just this unhappiness there, and I did feel dead. And coming out and finally just listening and trusting God and just doing what he wants me to do has brought upon this happiness I haven't felt, and that's real. As I couldn't do none of this without him. I by every standard, I've been successful upon release. And it's because of God. You have to get right with God. You have to listen to what he's telling you, and you have to really follow that path. If you truly want to be happy, you think you're happy when you're doing drugs or drinking or doing all this stuff, but you're not. You're miserable. Now, I have a kind of happiness now that I didn't have prior. Yeah. And so I would encourage anyone struggling, you know, you come talk to me. I've lived that life, and I'm living this one. I like this one much better.
It's a couple very, very powerful words there. I love that he said, I like this one much better. But he said, when he turned his life over to God, he said, got to listen to what God says. You got to do what God says. Just a few weeks ago, kind of to add on to Michael's story, He's been coming now for a while, and his friend, who was his barber, he invited him to church, and he came a few weeks ago. His barber came, and you should have just seen Michael's face. He was beaming ear to ear. My barber came. My barber came. It was awesome. Here's a guy who's probably felt a little bit like Judas at points in his life. Tried to get what the world had to offer. But here's the great thing about Jesus. Some of you probably heard this before. He's able to turn our mess into a message. That's the kind of Jesus we serve. And you know, I love stories like this because they're just so practical. And Jesus is just using this as an example and an illustration. He's, man, just go serve people. Wash people's feet. Show them that you love them. Teach them that no matter who they are, they don't have to live in shame, that there's grace, that there's forgiveness. And that could be the end of the story, right? We could just close it up. But I want you to see this last verse as we go. That could have been the end of the story that he told his disciples, and he says, do what I tell you, you should do just as I have done for you. But then look at verse 16 and 17. He says, truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master. A messenger is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, and then look at this, you're blessed if you do them. Not only do you get to receive the love and the grace that you don't deserve, but he says, I'll even bless you for living this way. If you know it, now understand what he says, if you know it and you do it. A lot of us stop at knowing it, right? Yeah, I know I should serve. I know I should serve my children and my wife and my people at my work and my neighbor. I know I should do it. I know about washing feet. But do I take the step to do it? And so my encouragement to you this week is share your story. Share what God's done for you. If you've received his love, if you've been on the receiving end of him washing your feet, share your story this week. Because when we serve others, we break the power of pride. When we serve others, we break the power of self-centeredness. As I was finishing up preparing this week, I realized that this being the greatest weekend in sports history of March Madness, I realized that I didn't say anything about March Madness my whole sermon. So I started thinking, can't go this weekend without talking about basketball. Reminded me of an old movie called Hoosiers. Some of you have seen that. Some of you teenagers in here, just ask your mom and dad. It's only the greatest movie ever. There's a scene in this movie of this Indiana State high school basketball team, and they're on this crazy journey to go play in the state championship. And there's a scene in one of the games, the coach calls a timeout, and he huddles all the players up, and he tells them what to do. And it's really funny to listen to, like, their strategy back then. It's pretty funny. Anyways, he's telling them, and he's like, all right, you know, bring it in, and let's go. And so all the guys, they jump up, and they run out on the court. And there's one guy, as the coach breaks the huddle, he's a very spiritual guy. He kneels down, and he starts praying. And, like, the ref's getting ready to throw the ball in. The coach is looking around. He's like, he leans over to him. He's, you know, hey, son, God wants you to get on the court. God wants you to get in the game. And the boy looks up at him. He runs out in the game. I was thinking about that scene this week, and I feel like that's our message. God wants us in the game. It's time for some of us to get out on the court. And God's calling you today. It's time to share your story. Stop living in shame. Stop living in past. Stop allowing the enemy to keep you from receiving. Get that pride out and allow Jesus to serve you. Some of you today, your soul, you need to allow Jesus to come into your heart and to save your soul. And you need to put the pride away. It's time for you to get in the game. And that's the message that God wants you to hear this morning. It's time to get in the game. And I just want to encourage you this week and even these next few moments, take some time and reflect on who God is. Take some time to reflect on what God's done in your life and in your heart. Take some time and ask God, who is somebody that I could just go show the love of Jesus to this week? Who's somebody that I could share my story with? Because guess what? We all got one. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And thank you for, gosh, just thank you for being here today. Thank you for your attention. And I believe that when God's word is open and preached and talked and read, I believe that that's the Lord speaking to us. And I don't know where you're at on your journey with Christ. Maybe there's some hurt. Maybe there's some baggage. Maybe there's some hesitancy. But wherever you're at, I hope today you realize the kind of God that we serve is the kind that gets down on his hands and knees and washes our feet even when we don't deserve it. And I pray that today that would be the God that you experience. I pray that today that would be the God that you walk out of here knowing without any doubt that he's for you, that he loves you, that he came to die for you. If you don't know that answer, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, our prayer team's going to be here. Our pastors are here in the front, in the back. Just stop by and say, hey, can I talk to you? I want to know more about this Jesus. I've never experienced that kind of love, the kind of love that I don't deserve. I want to take that step today. Would you be bold enough to ask for help, to lay down your pride and say, I need that? Maybe you're here today and you know Christ and you know he's turned your mess into a message, but the reality is you've been keeping it quiet. You haven't been washing anyone's feet. You haven't been serving anyone. Really, it's been about you. It's been about me and my life and the things I got going on. And today your message is, it's time. It's time for you to get in the game. God wants you on the court. Would you be so bold? Would you be so courageous to say, all right, God, I'm in. Put me in. I'm ready to live my life for you. I'm ready to lay down my selfishness and my self-centeredness, and I'm going to serve. Start at home. Start with your family. Start with your spouse. Start with your neighbor, your coworker that you see every day. God, give me somebody I can serve this week. Give me somebody that I could just simply invite. Invite them to lunch. Invite them over. Game night. Invite them to church. God, give me somebody that I can invite. I pray that today, whatever God's speaking to your heart about, that you would take action. Just as Jesus told his disciples, what I've just shown you, you go do it. May City Hope always be a church that is about serving those who don't deserve it. Father, we love you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory today, and I pray that your Holy Spirit presence would continue to fall on us, and even as we walk out of here, and we go to lunch, and we go about our day, we go about our week, God, continue to prick our hearts, continue to use this time together just to push us forward in our walk with you. Help us to be obedient to the people you're calling us to serve, Lord. I pray that for those that are here that have never experienced your love, they don't know you as their personal Savior, I pray for today to be the day of salvation. Use these times to mold us into the people you've called us to be. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.